Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. David's on vacation, and we have the great Tom Thayer filling in for him. And what a delight to welcome in John Paxson, the Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Bulls. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. And maybe our listeners don't realize it, but we now have two men on the air that single-handedly propped up the collective GPA of the entire athletic department back in the day at Notre Dame. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
And John, you and Tom
John,
were...
He was a 4.0. I was like a 1.75.
Yeah, but the thing is, football players didn't have to go to class. See, that's the thing. So.
A long and storied tradition.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Honest.
So, John, I'm just curious. Obviously, there was, I think it was $3 billion spent on the first day of free agency. Do you look at something like that and just curse that you're not still playing? Is that when you see the money thrown around like that?
And Tom will attest this. There's nothing you can do about it. And the guys I feel sorry for are, you know, the guys like, back in the 70s and, the Oscar Robertsons of the world and, the guys that really laid the foundation for the game. They're the ones that have to be looking at this thing now and saying, that they could have been playing in this era making a ton of money.
Hey, John, what you see what Toronto and Cleveland has done the last couple off seasons, does that change the timing for the way you think about how quickly you can get good or how quickly you want to, get back to the level you need to be?
Well, I don't know if it's so much what Toronto and Cleveland have done. I think, 2 years ago on draft night, we traded Jimmy Butler, and we got what we felt was a good package in order to start our rebuild. And since that time, so just a little over 2 years ago, we've added LaVine, Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and then last year we got Wendell Carter in the draft. We traded for Otto Porter this past year, which, we were trying to be realistic in terms of looking at this summer. So we took some money in on that deal. And then this summer we were able to get Kobe White, and then sign a couple of guys and Thaddeus Young and Thomas Satoransky. So I think we've made some really major changes in 2 years. The bottom line, Tom, is we need to get competitive again. And that's where we have to start. And I'm very realistic, and we all know this, that you need stars in this league to win at the highest level. And right now we're trying to develop some young players. We think Markkanen has a real chance to be a special player, but he's got a long way to go. We believe that Zach LaVine also has a chance to be that kind of guy, but we understand it takes time. We're just trying to build a team right now to get as competitive as we can and hopefully be a good team. I think on paper right now, we're a much better basketball team than we were last year.
John, on the side of the Super Bowl ring, Dick had a word put in there, and he says ace, and it's attitude, character, and enthusiasm. In watching the summer league games, maybe I don't know anything about basketball, but I love what Gafford is bringing.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's got a lot of energy. He looks big. He runs the court well. He's got great enthusiasm.
How did he fall the second round?
Well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, sometimes in the draft, people get locked in on guys and they say, if this guy falls to us, we're going to take him. And so who knows? But Daniel's got a long way to go. But here's the thing with centers in our game today. The way the game's being played, you really have to be one of two things. You have to be a space the floor type of center that can shoot the ball and give driving lanes to perimeter players. Or you have to be a guy like, everyone points to Clint Capela, because what he does is he sprints the floor every possession. He can screen, roll to the rim, catch the ball, and dunk it. And then on the other end, he protects the rim. So really, those are the two type of bigs that we have in the league now, at least in terms of centers. And Gafford seems to fit that second mold where he can do those type of things. So, we've added some pieces to the front court, and we're You know, we haven't officially done another one, but we have a spacing five that we're going to sign here soon, hopefully. And so you know, he's going to be a young developmental guy, but we do like his upside, and hopefully over time, you know, the beauty of these second round guys, we're able to sign them for a long period of time at low dollars, and we have a real opportunity to try to develop them.
And John, you know, this looks like this is your team. You know, the guys that we're looking at here, it seems like you've put together exactly what you talked about doing. Mm-hmm. You got the toughness of a Thaddeus Young. You got Satoransky is another one of these versatile players. You mentioned a shooting five, and obviously the draft. You know, I can't wait to see what Coby White looks like when you're up and running. We talked last year about what the goal is, and the goal was growth. Is the goal playoffs now? Has this shifted into a different sort of a different level of the rebuild?
Well, I think always when you step onto the court as a coach or a player, your goal has to be to win at the highest level you possibly can, whatever your potential is. And so if playoffs is something that we're good enough to move towards, that's great. But like I said earlier, we need to get back to being a hard-playing, competitive team. And I think a lot of it oftentimes is you reflect, you know, the coach dictates your attitude as a team. I think Jim Boylan brings a toughness and an attitude to our group, which we need. And, you know, so that's a big thing. But I never want to sit here and say, hey, we're going to do this or that. My thing, you know, we've had these 2 years that have been rough, and you know, we can point to a lot of things. We have had a lot of odd injuries that, you know, are tough to deal with, and it's difficult on all of us because, you know, we sit there at games and you watch your fans come in and support you, and you're putting out a team that you know isn't at a level that you want them to be. So we first and foremost need to stay healthy. We need to come together as a group. I think we have a deeper basketball team. You know, I haven't even mentioned, you know, last year we missed Denzel Valentine, who didn't play the whole year because of an ankle injury. And, you know, Denzel as a complementary type piece, he can pass it, he can shoot it. Another guy who can space the floor for us. So I think we have some depth that we haven't had in the past. But I make no bones about this. Our success or lack thereof is going to be determined by the growth of these young guys that we have. And, you know, in particular, guys like Lowry and Wendell and Zach. Otto is still a 26, 27-year-old player that you know, we didn't get to see much of last year. But when we did, we thought he did some really good things for us. And so again, it's a tough business where you want the superstars. You want to do what the Clippers are doing and the Lakers are doing, but we're realistic right now. We're not in that position. We hope that in a couple years, with the development of these young guys, players around the league view us as a destination port where they can win at the highest level. And I believe we'll be there if our young guys perform the way we hope they will.
Hey, John, what's your take on replay? Is, you know, it's weird how they go about the replay business in the NFL. You got a guy up in the booth. You got a little bit of time to view the play to see if you want to make the call. Are you for this? Do you think it's going to complicate the game? Do you think it'll slow the game down at all?
Well, that's the balance the league is always addressing, is flow of the game. And but they also want the plays to be right, especially, you know, last 2 minutes of the game. So the league spends a ton of time looking into all the replay issues. You know, we have this replay center back in New York that every night there's a group of officials and video people that are watching every game, so that, you know, when you see NBA games and the referees go to the replay monitor, they're talking to the replay center back in New York. So it's good from the standpoint that, you know, you're trying to get everything right, but this is still a subjective game, and referees have a very difficult time calling things in real time. Our athletes, like in football, our athletes have gotten bigger, stronger, faster. It's difficult to see everything in real time, but I think, you know, when you start, when you look at things that happen in the last 2 minutes and you're able to correct those and make sure that you get it right, that's a good thing that we have. And this year they're gonna experiment with the coaches challenge where one time a game a coach can ask for a clarification on whether it's a goaltending or a foul call, and you just hope that doesn't stop play for a long period of time, because that's not good for players or the fan.
John, you mentioned the goal is staying healthy. It was disappointing to see Wendell Carter having a core surgery. That kind of came out of nowhere for me, just as a fan. What was that anticipated? Was that a new injury? What happened there?
Well, you know what, he's had a little bit of that since high school, and we knew that he played through it in high school. He played through it at Duke, and last year, same thing. Just it wasn't anything that really limited him. It would just get sore. And so when he broke his thumb this year and he had a chance to, just kind of quiet his body down, he was feeling good. Our protocol was to work him out this summer, ramp him up for summer league to see how he felt. And if there was any discomfort, we were going to address it. And we actually, toward the end of the season, sent him to see a couple of specialists. Their determination at the same time, we followed their guidelines primarily of let's ramp him up at some point and see how he does. So, I mean, the rehab is it's aggressive. I mean, first day out of surgery, he was doing some core things and walking, and that he'll ramp up. He'll be back in town, but he'll be ready by training camp. But we think this is something will free him up, and he won't have any more discomfort, and he'll be able to play. It was really unfortunate for him last year because, like I said, we had so many he broke his thumb on a fall. We just had a few things that really kind of set us back. Would have been nice to have seen him play all year long, because we do think he has a bright future.
John, we were talking about how football and Mitchell Trubisky, how offense is repetitiously learned. When you look at a guy like Coby White and watching him throughout the summer league, how long does it take a young player to be able to anticipate how the ball is going to flow up the court and how to efficiently get it towards the hoop and with the anticipation of the players' knowledge of each other?
Yeah, it's going to take some time. I mean, you have to look at Coby was a big-time scorer in high school, and so his mindset oftentimes is to look for a shot. And the reality of our game today is the point guard position. Most of the high level point guards have a big time scoring component to them. They know how to get to the rim. They know how to shoot. It's just what it is. It's no longer, the point guard who comes off screens, always looking to pass the ball. So I think it's going to take Coby a little bit of time. I think when you look at him in the summer league, his decision making has been he's had to learn some things through that. One thing that these kids never understand when they come in this league is how much faster the game is at the NBA level, how much longer the players are in terms of arm length and reach. So they have to get accustomed to those things. I think the one good thing for us is, as our roster sits right now, Coby can learn at his own pace. And if he comes into camp and plays great and earns opportunity, that's terrific. And I think he will. But we signed Satoransky. We still have Chris Dunn on our roster, who's a tough, competitive kid. So he's going to have an opportunity to learn. But, when we look at things long term, we think Kobe's obviously got a really bright future. And, you got to have guys who put the ball in the basket. And this kid has the mindset that he's going to do that.
I'm just curious, John. Russell Westbrook is the latest NBA star that is being shopped. Do you do due diligence on that? Do you make a call, or are you, in terms of the realistic approach you have, do you not even bother with it?
Well, no, everybody pays attention, obviously, to what's going on, and, right. and the deals around the league. But I think every team is at kind of a different stage of development and evolution, and there are teams that are going to take a real shot at someone like that. When you have to factor into everything. I mean, you look at the financial aspect of a player that's 30 going out 4 years and the amount of money that's going to be made, those things can, tie your hands up and kind of put your organization in a tough position. We're looking at things realistically. We understand where we're at. And like I said at the beginning, honestly, I want our group to be competitive. I want our fan base to look out at our team and say, okay, these guys are playing hard. They're showing us that they care and that there's a real chance that as their young guys develop, this is going to be a really good basketball team. The league has changed so much as contracts. You know, it used to be where you sign a guy to you can sometimes sign him to 6-year deals, guaranteed deals, and that limited movement. Now, through the last CBA, they've shortened the deals, and maybe one of the unintended effects is all this player movement that you're seeing now, that, you know, guys moving teams on their own and, you know, coming to free agency sooner. And that, you know, so we're trying to build this thing given our timeline, and our timeline started 2 years ago in terms of a rebuild. I think like I said earlier, when you look at the number of changes we've made in the past 2 years, when you're talking about a 15-man roster, I think they're significant. I think we've upgraded our talent level while staying young. And I think our prospects of being that competitive team, are high. So, I just want to feel a team right now that our fan base can get behind. And that's something that I know has been tough in watching our group, especially last year when, you know, we had all the injuries and we were throwing out some guys that, you know, were borderline NBA players at times. They played hard and they're trying to make it, but it wasn't the type of product that you want to put out there. Hopefully we'll stay healthy and our fan base will be excited about the group we have.
John, thanks a ton. Always great to talk to you. Really appreciate your time.
Hey,
thanks,
Tom. John. Tom, how often do you get back to ND?
Not very much, you know, with broadcasting during the football season. You know, I had two nieces, and, you know, my brother-in-law went there. They get there back there a lot more often than I do, John.
Yeah, me too. We're still working. See, that's the problem.
That's right.
All your classmates have retired.
No kidding. All right, fellas, good buddy. Talking to you.
Thanks, John.
See you, John. That's great. That is John Paxson, always fun to talk to him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.